So Ayin Dal, second, the middle paragraph. Harachilas v'lashon hara. So let's just point out that this is like the second stage in Parak Yud Aleph in Nikias. The first stage was the very, very severe Averis that he spoke about, which was the Inyanim of Gezel, of Arayas, and of Machalas Asuris. And then he changed, I just want to point out the pattern. And then he changed on Ayin Beis on the top. He says that now he's going to talk about the Chatoim HaMetzuyim HaNeilodim Echevras B'nei Adam. The common Averis that come from being around people. And that was, first we spoke about Einoas Devarim, talking to someone in a nice way. And then we spoke yesterday about Nisinas Eitzah, which is we realized from learning it was a tremendous, tremendous Nisayin. To give an Eitzah to someone based on what's the best thing for them, not what's the best thing for you. Tough thing. And today is about Rechilas and Lashon Hara. Let's learn this paragraph about Lashon Hara, and then we'll talk about it a little bit afterwards. But Rechilos for Lashon Hara. Rechilos and Lashon Hara kvar chumra noida. The chaymer of it, anybody know Rechilos is?
The same something somebody else, what somebody said about him.
Right. It's telling somebody what somebody else said about them. Somebody said that you are such and such. That's Rechilos. And Lashon Hara is saying anything bad about a person, even if it's true. It's not true, it's called Maitzi Shemra. It's true, it's called Lashon Hara. Harachilos v'Lashon Hara kvar chumra noida. The severity of these averis are very well known. Nowadays, it's gar well known. From the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. V'goydel anofov kirabu me'oid. And it's tremendous, it's many branches. It's the greatness of its branches that there are very many. Interesting. V'goydel anofov kirabu me'oid. That's the maimer that he started Nikias with, that the Chachamim said, that everybody is nichshel in avak lashon hara. Avak lashon hara is like a me'ein of lashon hara, something that could lead to lashon hara, that's associated with lashon hara. Like l'mashal, if you know that somebody doesn't like somebody, it's avak lashon hara to compliment him to that person. So if you know that Reuven is always ranting and raving about how terrible Shimon is, it's a avak lashon hara to go with Reuven and say, you know, I saw Shimon did a gevaldik azach yesterday. Because it could lead to Reuven saying, yeah, I know he did a gevaldik azach yesterday, but you should have seen what he did the day before. It could easily lead, since you know that he doesn't like him, it could easily, from talking about it, could lead to lashon hara. That's a avak lashon hara. Is that right, Josh? What? Is that right? The Amru Chazal said, "Hey, chidami avak lashon hara. What's the case of avak lashon hara? Kegayin de Omar, the person asked you, Heicha mishtechach nura. Where can I find the fire?" The way they punctuate here is that it's really the response to a question. Heicha mishtechach nura ela beplanya. Where can you find fire? Only by this person. Now, this person, you can always be confident there's a fire burning, which in today's day and age, that means you could always be sure that his barbecue grill is on. You could always be sure his barbecue grill is on. It's not enough for a nice thing to say about somebody. Isn't this guy, the grill is always on? What does that tell you? Does that tell you that he's a person who's focused on serving Hashem? Does it tell you that he's a person who has an important agenda in his life? No, it tells you he's a person whose main objective and whose good part of his day is spent thinking about eating meat. Not a compliment. Maybe for some people it is a compliment, but for some people it's not a compliment. So even though really it sounds like he's giving good advice. Oh, you want to know where to get fire from? You need a fire? You want to get fire? You could always find fire by this guy. Always. Be careful how you say that. Be careful how you say that. That's what we just mentioned. What to say good things about him in front of people that hate him. The chol chayetz was in anything similar to this. Af al pish enirim dvarim kalim. Even though they seem to be not severe things, urechaykim and urechilus, and they're distant from urechilus, they're not the ikar adin of urechilus. in a be'emes may avok shalohim, they're really part of the from the avak of rechilas. Klolo in shaldavar harve drachim la yetzer. There's many drachim to the yetzer hara, and therefore that's why he's setting up this klal. You should be able to catch in all the sneaky ways that the Yetzer Hara is going to try to attack you. Keep in mind this klal. Anything that could lead to damage or bizoyan for his friend. Anything that you say, that the result of that could be something embarrassing or something damaging to somebody else. Whether it's in front of him, or it's not in front of him. For some reason people say, it's not lashon hara, I would even say it to his face. So what? So you also would insult him to his face, so that means it's not lashon hara? You also, not only do you not care about Lashon Hara, you also don't care about Malvin Pnei Chaver Barabim, so that makes it better. If it's Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Hara, whether it's Befanav or it's not Befanav. Hareza Bechlal Lashon Hara, it's Bechlal Lashon Hara, Hasonoi Umetuav Lufnei Hamakim. It's Bechlal Lashon Hara, which is hated and disgusting in front of Hashem. She'omru Allah, the Chazal said about it, Kola Mesaper Lashon Hara, Ke'ilu Kaifer Be'ikr. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he was kofer in the Rabbanei Shalala. It's very, very, very serious. Kol ha-mesaper lashon hara, ki ilu kofer be'ikar. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. Maybe we'll... Ukra ksiv, and the pasuk says, mi lashni vaseser e'eyu. Someone who talks in private about his friend, oisai atzmis. He, I will cut off. Atzmis, lashon of cutting off.
What is
the upside to say, sir?
You just said that
it's a good question. I guess because it's the type of thing that you would say to say, sir. Lashon Hara is a very, 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 very big topic. And everybody has struggles with Lashon Hara. That's what the Gemara says. Kulam ba'avak Lashon Hara. Everybody struggles with Lashon Hara. In the few minutes that we have, I'll try to touch on some of the different aspects about Lashon Hara. The first thing is, and this the Chavetz Chaim talks about, let me back up even a step. Let's understand a little bit of history. Lashon Hara is one of the Averis in the Torah. It's not so clear. When you learn Chumash, you don't dafka pick up on it. It's not so clear. There is a few paragraphs in Rabbeinu Yaina about it. There's a few things in the Rambam about it. And it says that Lashon Hara is a big Avera. There's no Hilchos Lashon Hara in Shulchan Aruch, as far as I know. It's something in the Torah. It's an Indian in the Torah that's not so clear in the Paiskim. There's a few Gemaras about it, a few main Gemaras. There's Gemara in Erechin, a few other Gemaras about Lashon Hara. And time was passing by, and Yidden weren't realizing how central the Avera of Lashon Hara is, and how central being Poyosh from Lashon Hara was for the survival of Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into a generation, a few generations ago, the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim was a tremendous, tremendous guy, and he could have written and been Meirich and written Svarim about anything. Right, he wrote the Mishnah Berurah on Aruch Chaim. He could have also written the Mishnah Berurah on Yerideya and on Evan Ezer and on Chayshem Mishpat. He was a tremendous guy, and we think of the Chavetz Chaim like a Tzidkas Dekayid. We don't have the beginning of a tefisa of what type of goyness he had. He was a goy in Adi. He had a tremendously powerful mind, and he dedicated his life to stopping the spread of Lashon Hara. And that tells us something. The Chavetz Chaim was one of the first people that told us. I don't know how many of you know exactly what the Seder HaYeshiva was in his yeshiva. But when he was older, he wasn't so much involved in the day-to-day running of the yeshiva. He would stay at home. But every week by Shalosh Shudas, when it was already dark, you know, the candles were already, there was no candles anymore, you know, it was getting dark, right? The candles from last night burned out, and then the morning came. And then it came to the afternoon, to Shalosh Shudas time, and those days was just twilight. It was getting darker and darker. They would sit around in his house, and he would talk, Dvar Ma'im de Merum by Shalolam, Musar and Chizuk, and he would talk about a lot of different things. And he started to say then, and I saw this, I read this quoted from people who were there and heard it. It's not a legend. This is a quote from people that heard it. He's from the first Gedolim that started to announce that we're in the Zman of Ikvus of the Mashiach now. These days, the Mamash, the Zman, we're holding right before Mashiach, these generations. Right before Mashiach. and the Chofetz Chaim was a tremendous Kaddish. Besides from being a tremendous guy, and besides from being a tremendous tzaddik, he was a tremendous Kaddish, and it's safe to say with confidence that he had a very big dose of Ruach HaKaddish. The Mashal, they say that after World War I, and people were telling him the tzaras that happened in World War I, the Chofetz Chaim told them, B'dmois, that you think that World War I was bad, something is going to happen in a few years that's going to make World War I seem like child's play. Of course, he was referring to the murder of 6 million Yidden. Tremendous Kedusha, tremendous Ruach HaKadosh, tremendous foresight. He was the undisputed, he's the last one, I think, that was the undisputed leader of a generation. Hasidim, Litvisha, all around, the whole Eretz Meretz Yisrael, from America, from every country. He was a global tzaddik, undisputed leader of a generation while he was alive. Everyone becomes a big tzaddik after the Nifter, but the trick is that even while he was alive, for years and years, he was the undisputed leader of the generation. And this person, you just have to realize how central he is. He shaped our life. Our whole life is the Mishnah Berurah. He shaped our life. He was the last. He set the tone for all that goodness Yisrael that we have today, and all the way that Rabbanim organized themselves, and the policies. Is all that all comes from the Chofetz Chaim. He had. I heard from very chashuv people that he had direct Kabbalas from the Ziknei Vilna Kabbalas that reached back to the Gra that he had in his, like a, you know, Mesira from the Gra. Heiliger things. There's tremendously heiliger stories about him. You know, there was, I don't know if those of you are familiar, but there was a dibuk in the times of the Chofetz Chaim. You are familiar with that? And he sent, I think, Rabbi Chanan to deal with it. But the dibuk announced to everyone around that in Shemayim they'd sitter from the Chofetz Chaim. His name is Shmai Heilech Bechal HaOlam, and it didn't mean our world. He was a central person in history. And this central person in history devoted his life that we should stop talking Lashon Hara. And the truth is that we talk Lashon Hara so commonly that we think of this like it's like a side thing. Okay, Lashon Hara, fine. Deal with the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. But this is how he dealt with the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. This is how he was going to bring us in. This was the way the Chofetz Chaim wanted to bring us into Eglus of the Mashiach, that we should stop speaking, listening, and be Makabel Lashon Hara. It's an incredible thought. The Lashon Hara must be a much, much, much more central thing in our life and in our avodah than we think. Must be. Chavetz Chaim wrote a few svarim about Shmiras Lashon Hara. One of them is called Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Sefer Chavetz Chaim is a halacha sefer. It has the halachas on the top and it has biurim on the bottom. And there's another sefer called Sefer Shmiras Lashon. Sefer Shmiras Lashon is Musar about Lashon Hara. Today they have it, the all these organizations, they put out a Sefer Shmiras Lashon divided. You can learn a little piece every day. And it's a very, very, very valuable thing. It's very valuable to know the halachas, because if you don't know the halachas, you can know all the Musar in the world, you don't know where to put it. But it's very, very valuable, you know, to think about spending that time learning that little keta, that little piece every day about Lashon Hara. We learn at home, we try. You know, certain tefillos it's harder, certain tefillos it's easier. We try at home to learn every day one piece of Shmiras HaLashon, to save Shmiras HaLashon. And we found there's always nisyanus with Lashon Hara. There's always nisyanus. Things go on in a yeshiva and a family and with friends, with relatives, with the neighbors. Things go on and there's always, always, always nisyanus with Lashon Hara. It's not a nisyan that goes away. There's always this answer to Lashon Hara. And we found that just spending a few minutes a day learning a little bit Musar about Lashon Hara, the way the Chofetz Chaim and his so packed with Yiras Shamayim and so packed with Kedusha and so packed with passion, Avas Hashem, with passion for Yiddishkeit, that it affected us even when we weren't thinking, oh right, the Chofetz Chaim says, it just affected our attitude towards opening our mouth and saying something bad about somebody. And the tkufas that weren't doing it so stark, it felt like it was a little bit easier to say something bad about somebody. It came out of our mouths a little bit easier. But during the tkufa that we were going shtark, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, every day learning a little bit about Shmiras HaLashon, we would just automatically, if we're a little more, one second, let me think before I say that. A little bit more, thinking a little bit more. And it's such an overwhelming battle to try to battle Lashon Hara. It's a worthwhile thing, even without trying to do anything. Just learning the inyanim of Shmiras HaLashon, just learning the inyanim, That's already a very, 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 very good first step. Rabbi said, I would suggest, even if you feel that you cannot stop speaking Lashon Hara, you can't, you're not ready to deal with that now, it's too big. You can't stop speaking Lashon Hara, so decide that you're not going to stop and just learn that Sefer. So don't stop speaking Lashon Hara, but just learn that Sefer. And you'll find that automatically, instinctively, your instincts will start changing. You won't have to work on it. You'll find that your instincts will start changing. You'll start being a little bit more hesitant. Someone will say something bad about someone, it'll like irk you more. Because, you know, every day you spend a little bit of time focusing on why Lashon Hara is such a terrible thing. One of the things that he says there in the beginning, something it's, I think it's well known now, but it's a very, very important thing to repeat. That is like this. The Rabbanu Shlom, as we spoke about this, Lagabi, a different Lagabi Oina, it's a similar thing, Lagabi Lashon Hara. The Rabbanu Shlom is a tremendous Rachman. And the Rabbanu Shlom, is never Mevater. But sometimes, Meroiv Rachmanis, the Rabbanu Shlom will slow down the Midas Hadin and not punish somebody. And not bring down the din on the world, and not be ma'anish, not make things difficult, and wait for the person to find his way, even if it takes a long time, until the person finds his way back to the Rabbanu Shlom. That's the Rabbanu Shlom. Rabbanu Shlom has time. Rabbanu Shlom has time. Erech apayim, his af, his anger, is takes sometimes an oirech zman, it takes a long time. Erech apayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can do an Aveira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't react right away. Even though the biggest Kiddush Hashem would be that if I do an Aveira, lightning comes down and strikes me immediately. That would be the biggest Kiddush Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives his Kiddush Hashem. Forgives covers for the Malchus Shemayim, because he loves us so much. And he pushes it off a little bit, he pushes off the punishment to give us time. He's noisein zman to shove him, to be for people to do tshuva. Looks the other way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks the other way. Sometimes. Not that he's being mevater, chalila v'chas, but that he's waiting, he's being patient. Every parent knows that sometimes you see your children doing something that you don't approve of, so a smart parent doesn't jump on his kids every single time. Sometimes the parent purposely looks the other way. Sometimes a smart parent purposely doesn't catch his kids doing something wrong. Sometimes a parent will purposely make believe he doesn't notice a certain avla, so as not to cause that confrontation, to give time for things to be misaken themselves. But what happens? What happens is that that person then sometimes goes and speaks Lashon Hara. So that person is going, when you speak Lashon Hara, you're being ma'oyer adin on somebody, you're speaking out tainus on that person. And the Chavetz Chaim brings the Zohar, many Zohars he brings. Baruch Hashem, we have the Hebrew translation in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. To understand what the Sefer, nowadays, the Sefer Chavetz Chaim comes with the Zohar. Anytime the Chavetz Chaim brings the Zohar, it comes with the Lashon Kodesh translation of it. So you can understand the words, at least. And it says that when a person is Ma'ur Din on his friend, so then HaKadosh Baruch already starts listening to all the tainus on him as well. So it could be, we could be in a situation where HaKadosh Baruch is looking the other way. And he's not paying attention, he's ke'ilu making believe he doesn't see the bad things that we do. But then we go and say something bad about somebody. Now HaKadosh Baruch has to open up our notebook also and start seeing the bad things that we did. That's not pleasant. Because who could say that HaKadosh Baruch could read through their pinkus, you know, and it will come out clean? Who could say that with confidence? It's a scary thing. Mashiach is not going to come because Klal Yisrael is not giving mechet. It's not what's going to bring Mashiach. It's not the direction that we're going in. Each generation things become more difficult for Klal Yisrael. The Doris are mismatim v'ha'olchim. The godless of our Gedolim and the godless of Talmid Chachamim is less today than it was 100 years ago. Maybe part of what the Chavetz Chaim had in mind, ushering in the Kriset the Mashiach, is just to stop the prosecutors from talking. If we could stop saying bad things about other people, so the Mekatrigim will have to shut their mouths in Shemayim. If we're not Mekatrig, they're not Mekatrig. What goes on in Shemayim is a reflection of what goes on in this world. Azay Shtei Nechavetz Chaim. And if we could just not say bad things about other people, so in Shemayim there's going to be less bad things said about Klal Yisrael. And even if Klal Yisrael is not perfect, but if we could shut the Mekatrigim, we can quiet them down. We can send them out of the Kisei HaKavod. We can send them away. So then Mashiach could come. Who knows if that's not one of the kavanas that the Chavetz Chaim had? Dafka because the Tzikvus of the Mashiach. Dafka because he was a central person in our history. Dafka because he felt like he had to direct us towards Mashiach. And he realized that Klal Yisrael is not going to bring Mashiach by making sure that there are no Ketrugim. That's not what we were holding. But Klal Yisrael could bring Mashiach by telling the Ketrugim that they have to be quiet. That's a powerful thing. What? I don't know about that. You know, I was once by a levaya when I was I think in high school. A friend of mine's little sister was nifter. And I was by the levaya. His sister had been sick for a long time, and she had a sickness. And she had been sick for a long time. I didn't know about it. I just found out when she was nifter. So the whole class went to the levaya. I don't know why. I don't understand what was going on exactly. But the father got up to speak, and he said, "Everyone's being so nice, and they want to do something. Everybody wants to do something." I said, "Rabbi, please just stop talking lashon hara." Amazing thing. This father lost his daughter. This was on his mind. He said, "Rabbi, if you want to do something." Everyone's being so nice, everyone's so moved, everyone's so touched by whatever. You want to do something, stop talking and being mekabel lashon hara. And he said something then that still bothers me. Still bothers me. Ad hayom hazeh. He said, you know, the Gemara says, Ma Yisrael lebala lashon. What benefit does a person have from speaking lashon hara? And we know that benefit and pleasure are two different things. It could be a lot of pleasure speaking lashon hara. It could be a lot of pleasure. But we have to ask ourselves, what do we gain from it in the end? Is this something that our Yetzer Hara should be able to control us? Money, real pleasures that are mamashes, different pleasures, food, so on and so forth. Pleasures, we have a mamashes to them. Talking about somebody? What do we gain from it? And that's what this person, I was standing by, you just imagine the tzuri, you buy a levaya, you just found out. I didn't know my friend had a sick sister. I just found out that his sister was nifter that morning. And you come here, and the father is pleading, barabim, crying. Rabbi say, what do you get from speaking lashon hara? What do you gain from it? Please just stop speaking lashon hara. Like, it's not so much to ask. That's what he was like, the way he was presenting it. And at the time that I was standing there by a levaya, hearing a father who was burying his daughter that day, talk that way, Itaka was not that much to ask. Itaka not that much to ask. It's nothing. Just don't say bad things about other people. But as time goes on, we forget about these things. We forget about the Yisrael. And that's why we have to keep being mechazik. Through learning about it, constantly learning about it. Constantly. It's mistamed, it's a chiyuv on every yid. Every single yid should have some say there about inyanim of lashon hara, whether it's halacha, musar, or something. Lashon hara is a big topic. We have to learn from the Chavetz Chaim. It's not that the Chavetz Chaim, he was into lashon hara, other people are into other things. It's not that way. The Chavetz Chaim was the gadol hador. Like he was into some kind of shtick. He was the gadol hador, and if he said that this is what we have to work on, this is what we have to work on. This is what we have to work on. Important chizuk. What do we gain from speaking lashon hara? But I could talk a little bit what we gain from not speaking lashon hara. Besides for all the esoteric ruchniyistik cheshbonis that the Chavetz Chaim says, there's another much more basic geschmack that comes when a person gets used to not speaking lashon hara. I found, just relating my personal experience, I found that when a person speaks lashon hara, even if it's geschmack at the time to speak lashon hara, nobody feels geschmack after they spoke lashon hara. Not just because it's the wrong thing to do, but because it just doesn't feel right. It just feels schmutzadik. It just doesn't feel right. Slinging mud at people just doesn't feel right. It's not a motivating simchadika levadika thing to be talking about other people. And it's a very, very hard to change the habit. It's very hard to change. Someone's in the habit of always talking about other people. A person gets home, a person gets back to his room, and it's always about this one, and about this one, and this one. Everyone has their favorites, the people that they talk about. It's very, very hard to change. But if we could be mechazik ourselves to change our halach yelech, to change our way of life, and just not to instinctively say bad things, but to instinctively say good things about people. I was thinking, I was once in a house a number of years ago, and I saw that there were girls in the house, and the women in the house, they got up in the morning, it was like a Sunday morning or something, and they got up in the morning, so they got their siddurim to daven, and they opened the siddurim and they were schmoozing. And a half hour goes on, and an hour goes on, and they're schmoozing, the siddurim here, and they're schmoozing. And they have to get up and get something already, like time is passing by, so they're carrying their siddur around. They still didn't get around to davening yet. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, don't you realize, like, you walk around with your siddur for an hour and a half already? Maybe you should just daven. Still remember, like, just daven. And they're walking around, passing from the telephone like this, to the telephone like this, with a siddur in their hand. You know, the siddur is on their lap, and they're sitting and talking and talking and talking. And finally, you know, it's like getting carved to chatzos. They start davening. That was a good example to me of how it's possible for a person to change his attitude. Because at the time, I had like a kanoistic attitude. What's wrong with these people? You wake up in the morning, you daven. You don't walk around schlepping your siddur around the whole day. You wake up in the morning, you daven. But the other person that was with me said, what a special family we were by today. It's an amazing thing. They mamish, no matter what's going on, they will not leave go of their siddur until they daven. It's an amazing thing. And it's distracting, and there were guests in the house and everything, but like they're so ingrained in them to daven chakras, it's just like automatic, they just will not leave go of their siddur until they daven. I felt so stupid. I could have been in such a good mood from the whole thing. I could have been watching Godless. Instead, I was watching Godless. We were watching the same thing. I was putting myself into a bad mood and into a bitter mood, and this guy was putting himself into a better mood as we were there. It's an amazing thing. It's Meisim B'chol Yom. Meisim B'chol Yom. I'm going to say over a Meisim now that some people here might know. I don't even know if the people involved are here, because I don't know who the people involved are. But I know that a few months ago, there was a two bachurim got into a machlokes, and Rabbi Kalish was there, and he told them to break up, and they did. So whatever the reason is, whatever there was negaya for them. And I was talking to Rabbi Kalish about it, and I was thinking, it's such a terrible thing that two bachurim get into a fight. You know, it's gonna be. And Rabbi Kalish was telling me, he's over there, I'm gonna whisper. Rabbi Kalish was telling me, it's mamish gewaldig. You point out to someone that they're wrong, and immediately you said, you're right, and they start. So gewaldig. Bachram and Yeshiva was telling me, Bachram and Yeshiva are gewaldig. You just have to point out that you're doing something wrong. And right away they know they're doing something wrong, and they stop. Mamish godless. Wow. You could reframe. You don't have to be a negative person. You don't have to be a bitter person. He was right. That is godless. How many people recognize that they're wrong? How many people just change, see something, someone points at them and go, all right, you're wrong, I'm sorry. How many people do that? That's a rare thing. That's like a godless. He's right. It's like I was wrong. What are you getting upset about? Two people showed that they have midas. Everyone can get into an argument sometimes, but two people showed that they have midas. Two people showed that they can recognize, they can be objective, they can recognize that they do something wrong. That's godless. When you get married, it comes up even more. And just the reframing, so many issues that could come up in a home. If a person knows how to reframe, if a person knows how to look at it with the right attitude, things that husbands or wives sometimes, and children in a family also, walk around, push it, carrying around baggage, could be non-existent if you just look at it in a different angle. You know, someone comes home and comes into his house, and the place is flying. The place is flying, and supper is not ready. And the place is mamish flying. And his wife looks tired and haggard, and she's handling the kids the whole day, and he comes in, he's like, what's going on over here? Like, can't you keep things together? The house is flying, supper's not ready, I'm starving like anything. What's going on over here? And there, it sounds, here we're sitting here in Masil Sisharim, it sounds like what kind of Russia would do that? A lot of people would do that. But if a person would come home and he would tell himself, look at my wife, would I be able to sit and handle a bunch of kids the whole day? Right, if right away he would tell himself, look how much I have to be makir to her if she's sitting there taking care of my kids. So supper's not ready. Baruch Hashem, she didn't take a supper and put it in front of taking care of what kids need. Just push it, reframe it. Isn't it obvious? Like now I'm saying it, I feel almost stupid saying that example. It's push it, it's obvious. But it's not so obvious when you walk into the door sometimes in your house. Sometimes it's not so obvious. We get sometimes upset at people for doing us favors. They did us a stupid favor when a person meant well. It's push it a happier life. It's not even like, we're not talking about something, really this is very, very hard. And really it's mamish miserable to live this way. But what could you do? It's like, oh, this Hashem. That's not what we're talking about over here. If someone could look at things positively, if someone could look at people positively, someone, he sees something, he doesn't see the Lashon Hara. Forget about speaking Lashon Hara. He doesn't see the Lashon Hara. Someone sees somebody being silly. So there's two kinds of people. One person's like, that person's just so silly. The other person's like, so good to see a person smile. The same thing. Exactly the same thing. Oil knows how to smile. Oil knows how to take a joke. Oil knows how to laugh. Givaldi. The other person's like, these guys are a bunch of babies. It's the same bunch of people, the same situation, the same exact thing. Who's happier? Who's living with more geschmack? Who has more energy to run his life? We push it. This whole matzav of a Baal Lashon Hara is a depressing life. It's push it depressing. What do we need that for? There's enough sad things in the world. There's enough difficult things in the world. We don't have to take things that we could look at as so gewaldig, as so positive, as so such a gewaldig thing, and just try to find. Some people tell us we instinctively try to find the bad part. Try to find ways to say it in a bad way. Adrabah, almost everything there's a good side to. Almost everything. It's called an ayin tov. Looking at people with an ayin tov, like appreciating somebody. Appreciating the way somebody acts, appreciating what he says. Then either looking for the good, seeing the good, and it's something that there's some people that are instinctively like that. But there are some people, and even if they're not instinctively like that, and even if they look at things that are very, very critical, it's something that's possible to change. It's something that's possible to change. People that know this, so you know this from experience. It's something that's possible to change. A person could learn to reframe. A person could learn to look at something different. Stop, let me look at this differently. Let me look at this a little bit differently. You lend your car to somebody. The guy's late. So you could sit and be angry that he's late. Or you could say, Baruch Hashem, he's driving carefully. You don't get any tzar from saying, Baruch Hashem, he's driving carefully. You don't get any tzar for that. If he would show up on time because he drove 110 miles an hour, then you mak your tayyif to him, then he would turn your car to you. Just so many things. I'm giving like examples that coming to my head now. So many things. Where Pashut could take a lot of bitterness out of our life. And we walk around, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says so often, people Pashut get physically sick from bitterness that they could have just smiled about. They didn't have to be so bitter. They didn't have to be so bitter. Chavrusa comes late. Chavrusa comes late, it can be very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. And sometimes you have to change chavrusas if chavrusa consistently comes late. But if the first thing you say is, thank you so much for coming, a lot of chavrusas don't come at all, unfortunately. A chavrusa comes late, the first thing you say is, thank you so much for coming. A few days ago, a bacher came late. And I went over and I said, what's going on? Where have you been? And it was eating me up alive 2 days afterwards. First thing I should have said, it's gewaldig that you're here. It was on Thursday when there weren't so many people here. It was eating me up alive for 2 days. First of all, shkoyach that you're here. Second of all, what can we do to make the seder starker and so on? But first of all, thank you for being here. Just look at the positive first. This is not musr. We're not even talking about musr now. This is just pashut geschmack. Life is just more geschmack. It's lichtig. It's lebedig. There's energy. Musar is like, we think of Musar as like, that's the hard stuff. This is stuff that we could just learn to do this. It's a lichtiger life. We go on with life, we get married, have more friends. Who has more friends? The person who sees the bad in everyone or the person who sees the good in everyone? Who has more friends? Who has more energy? Who has a better marriage? Who has a better relationship with their children? Who gets along better with his rabbeim? Rabbeim are not perfect, rabbis say. Rabbeim are not perfect. People who are looking to criticize the Rabbeim in this generation, we don't have Avraham Avinu around anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore. Rabbeim are not perfect. I'm telling you straight out. You could quote me on it. Usually I ask you not to. You could quote me on it. Rabbeim are not perfect. If you want, you could find a criticism at every single Rebbe that you have. Why does that have to be the focus? Instead, say, this Rebbe, he's a gadol in this. This Rebbe is a gadol in lamdas. This Rebbe is a gadol in midas. This Rebbe is a gadol in tzidkas. This Rebbe is a gadol in giving advice. This Rebbe is a gadol in yediyas hashas. Instead of saying, this Rebbe, I don't think he knows shas. This Rebbe, and this is this Rebbe, they say he's a big genius, but he doesn't understand it. When you try to talk to him, he doesn't understand. This Rebbe, yeah, he's very, very, very understanding and everything, but lamaisa, you open a gemara, you see that he does not learn that well. That's how people talk. But the opposite. Exactly the opposite. This Rebbe, it's Mamish Kishmak, I can ask him an Eitzah too. This Rebbe, it's Givaldi, I can ask him anywhere in Shas that he knows. This other Rebbe, whenever I ask him a Svar, he's able to help me clarify this. But why can't we talk that way? Who's a happier Talmud? Who's a better Talmud? Who's a more successful Talmud? And finally, and this is what we don't have time to talk about today, maybe we'll talk about it another day, from ourselves the same thing is true. We also don't have to walk around always looking at the dark side of ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make us perfect. Everybody has ma'alos and everybody has chesrones. There's nobody who could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them perfect. But there's also nobody who could demand of themselves perfection. That's also a bitter life. A person has to be able to sometimes forgive himself. To understand, alright, these are the kaychas Hashem gave me. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I can't become perfect in a day. I'm trying as hard as I can. If a person's trying as hard as he can. If not, he can figure out a way to be mechazik himself. I'm not saying it's an easy way out of working hard in life. We're supposed to work hard. But sometimes you find people that when they're much younger, they suddenly demand immediate perfection out of themselves. Tefillah's not going so well, they're very upset at themselves. The learning's not going so well, they're very upset at themselves. I spoke to someone last night on the phone, not someone from here. Someone last night on the phone, and the person was crying on the phone. And he said to me that he was like beating himself up about something. He was really beating himself up about something. Part of what he was beating himself up about was that he was crying. It's amazing. He was beating himself up for not being perfect, and not only that, on top of everything else, I sit and cry at night. I said, like, have some rahmanas on yourself. Let yourself cry, at least something give yourself. Let yourself cry at least without feeling guilty. People walk around just pushing, riddled with guilt. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, don't cry. One of the answers is not al tivke, you know. It doesn't say anywhere, don't cry. Forget a little bit, you know. There are people who come on time to davening and say, Baruch Hashem, I was on time to davening. There are people that come on time to davening and say, but why can't I come a few minutes earlier? If it's a chizuk and a healthy way to come a few minutes earlier, it's gevaldik. But if it takes away his happiness, I came on time to davening, that's gevaldik. If any of your self-criticism is being mimicked from the simcha, then you did a mitzvah v'shleimusay. You're doing something wrong. It should be a simcha, you did something right. Even someone comes late to say that. If he's so bitter on himself and so angry at himself for coming late that the rest of Seder is not simchadik, not constructive, not getting anywhere, so what did he gain? Now he lost the whole Seder. What did he gain? Avada was supposed to try to be by full storm. Avada was supposed to keep trying to shtag. Avada was supposed to try to achieve whatever shleimus means for us. But we're also supposed to look at our bright side, not just other people. Sometimes the reason why we look at everyone else's negatives is because we're so busy looking at our negatives also. We have to look at life positively, we have to look at people positively, and maybe the most important of all, we have to look at ourselves positively. And then maybe naturally, of course we need to learn the halachas and the busa, naturally we won't be talking Lashon Hara so much. We're just not such bitter people anymore, we're happy people. Happy people don't talk Lashon Hara as much as sad people. That's a fact. Go around, cook chazi. Happy people do not speak Lashon Hara. I think it's a good clout. Check it out, see if it's right. Thank you.